Keep it quietly in the background, but yes, today it's a SHINee special. I believe SHINee are an amazing example of SM getting it right. They managed to put together a fivesome with amazing talent, charisma, individuality, and artistic integrity. That their legacy is strong. Their discography is strong. And I want to give people a little deep dive who haven't really listened to the music. If I wanted to go into a lot of B-sides, this would probably be a 2-hour long podcast, but I'm just going to stick to some title tracks and maybe the occasional B-side. But yes, I want people to appreciate and get to know why SHINee are the legends that they are. And before we even go any further, this will not be a heavy thing where we make it about Jonghyun's passing or focusing on that as if that's the only thing that defines him as a person. No, he was a supremely, supremely talented human being that I want this to be a celebration of his legacy as well. So don't go in this thinking it's going to get doom and gloomy. No, no, no. We won't do that. We're going to go through everyone's trajectory, where they started, where they got to, where they got to now, and how the other four dealt with his passing. And so also acknowledge his memory in so many fun, cool ways that really paid homage to his artistry and who he is as an artist. So yeah, SHINee, SM Entertainment, boy group debuted 2008, and I feel like they were probably, I've never actually checked this, but to me it makes sense. I feel like they wanted a new TVXQ, a younger version, even though TVXQ was still there. Well, they were about not to be. They were about to become a twosome, honey, but I do believe they modeled them after them. Five guys, they can all pretty much, three were probably very good, well, two excellent singers, and then two good singers, and one developing. So they definitely gave them a vocally forward feeling. So they debuted with Replay, which is the song I just opened up the show with. And that was from their performance in 2014, one of the two. Now I think it's 2015. And it was a concert. It was a concert, and they had this beautiful a cappella, which I wish they released because it's definitely recorded vocals. I wish they released that. It's gorgeous. One of the best debut songs of all time. People basically call it the best debut song of all time. It stood the test of time, and they came out the gate with a mature R&B kind of feel. The whole album is such an R&B feeling throughout. They nailed it. The harmonies are layered and textured, and everyone is singing their faces off. So SHINee is composed of Onyu, Jonghyun, Taemin, Ki, and Minho. And basically the setup was Taemin was the main dancer, Jonghyun main vocalist, as well as Onyu, and Ki lead rapper, lead dancer, and then Minho main rapper and lead dancer, something like that. I've not actually looked at their official positions, but they were pretty much that's pretty much the roles that people played. But obviously, as they grew and developed, especially singing wise, people were singing all over the gaff. It wasn't really about like, oh, let the main vocalist know. Everyone was singing. So they debuted with Replay, and then on the album, they have one of my favorite B-sides, which is called In My Room. This song is gorgeous. So gorgeous. See, it's funny actually, thinking of the trajectory, and really the reason why I wanted to make this was because I feel they've matured amazingly as a group, and yet they started off so mature. So it's interesting how they could start with such a serious, almost, this album I think to me feels like something a seasoned group would release maybe 3 or 4 years in, where they're not trying to be super hyperactive and they're not, you know, they're settling into their sound. But nope, they came out the gate with Replay and In My Room, as well as a few other songs on there that are such mature ballads. And mind you, the oldest person here at the time would have been Onyu or Jonghyun. I forgot who's oldest. But they probably would have been like 18, 19. And the youngest, Taemin, being 14, singing in these kind of songs. So it's very interesting. They started at such a mature soundscape, but then they managed to work through that and still keep it even up until now. So then, yes. Well, yes. They then left that. And then the next era, or the next few eras, they went into, or were pulled in by, which links to the other episode I released today, which was how music, the influence of music in the West, how it influenced K-pop at that time. The EDM era, the dance era, baby, came into play. And you can hear it with their song Ring Ding Dong, which is kind of what they're known for. It's one of their biggest hits, actually. Baby. And in typical Korean fashion, they ate it up. So that song was known as, I forgot what the term is called, exam, what is it? It's like, it's basically saying that the kids couldn't even study the exams because they kept singing Ring Ding Dong. They kept singing Ring Ding Dong and they couldn't concentrate. So I think it was even banned in school. So it was obviously a big hit. And at the same time, a couple of years later, they then released Lucifer. No shade, Lucifer still goes off. The boom, boom, boom. That bass is crazy. So for people who don't know, that Lucifer is also known for being the first kind of official dance practice video released in K-pop, which are now common for every group to release a dance practice. I think it's between them and Infinite, I think. But everyone kind of says Lucifer, and I'm inclined to agree because of Taemin is wearing this zebra. No, not zebra. Zebra line. Yeah, I guess it's kind of zebra line t-shirt. So it looks really fuzzy because obviously the camera is like a, I don't know, 2 megapixel back in those days. So his image looks like his shirt is moving, and it's kind of iconic because of that as well. So they kind of went into this EDM sound and they did very well in it, because one thing about SHINee, even though they were doing these songs, they were still singing. And I'll show you a bit of that now. So they're still delivering, they're still giving you all of that. And then a couple years later than that, you then had one of the other classics as well. And that song which is called Sherlock, is one of the first few times that, maybe the first time that SM as a company combined two different songs and released it as a song. So if you look on YouTube, this is called Sherlock, and in brackets, it has Clue plus Note. Clue and Note are two different songs. I think even on the albums, you can hear them separately, but they released it together, which is something they only did again with SuperM a few years later. Then they may have done it other times, but I'm not sure. And that was the days when SM was definitely a lot more innovative and was just doing unique things with their groups. And funny enough, I was watching Minho's interview on the recent episode with that woman. I don't know her name. And that was really good. But he spoke about how back in those days, each A&R basically wrote songs specifically for their groups. It wasn't like, let's pick from the pool and make it work. No, everything was tailor-made for the group. And listening back to the music then, it definitely feels that way. This feels like, yeah, the fact that it's already saying Shiny's back and all those things means the writing of the lyrics and probably the sound and the kind of that groove funk they had in the music as well feels very Shiny specific. And that definitely has its pros because the group then has its own identity. But maybe the cons would have been maybe more delays and less variety in sound. I don't know. So at that point, yeah, they released Sherlock, which is known as one of their classics as well. And around that time as well, they released Everybody, which is another classic, but more so for, I would say, the choreography is what makes Everybody. Yes, in this era, the vocals are still there. Everybody, especially the long notes, I might as well play it for you lot. They're still singing, the energy still there. And what I do find interesting, actually, a lot of the music is also still age appropriate. It's honest, it's fun, it's not trying to be something else, it's not trying to be edgy for edgy's sake. It's just the production is there, but the vocals are still the priority. You're getting them to showcase their range and everything pretty much in every song still, even in the B-sides as well. So then we're going from that part, and now we're in, I guess you would say, the transitional stage, because now at this point, EDM and dance was kind of starting to fade out, and the future was coming, essentially. And we had songs like, this is one of my favorite B-sides, from this similar album as Everybody, because that was also 2013, and it's called Excuse Me Miss. And this is them in their R&B bag. So even though they're still doing the EDM, the dance, whatever, oh, baby, they're still Shiny. And for me, I feel like, so now in 2013, they're 5 years in, and I think the sound of the group shows the maturity. It shows that they know who they are sonically. If they want to do an upbeat song, they will have those group quirky kind of fun songs. But then if they want to be a bit more serious, you can have the grown, mature R&B, because not everyone's grown at this point. Like, everyone's like, let's go. And you hear it in the delivery and the choreo still eating whatnot, but the sound is also naturally maturing without losing their identity. Now, next up, in 2015, they come with I Believe and I Will Still Rank as their best album, which is the Odd album. And it's kind of perfectly timed. And this is crazy that this is 7 years, because they still feel so young and they still have so much more to go. But to think at this point, this was their 7 year mark, it's very impressive, actually, because most groups don't last till 7 years. Most groups, by 5 years, you're seeing the cracks and they're gone. So to think by 7 years that I feel like they were still just reaching their peak is very impressive. Very impressive. And that's kind of the benefit of starting so young. Even though people are like, oh, don't debut minors, shut up. Anyway, this is View. Going into the house territory, and it's funny, it still works, because at this point I do feel like house music was maybe in the West, because this is the David Guetta days, maybe Kelly Rowland, all those kind of things was kind of rising for us, but they managed to match it in a way that still felt authentic, and it worked with what they would, it felt like a reference to what they would have done in the past, so it doesn't feel too odd. Then after that, they released the Japanese album. Now, their Japanese discography has some of my favorite songs of theirs. But however, we're not going to cover that today because it will be too long. Like I said, maybe another episode. One of the B-sides from that album, though, which was written and produced, I think, by Jonghyun, who then, even some of his solo songs, the R&B that he would do, he did. I must play one of his songs because I actually did mix it with Nomani. What song was it? I'm ready to do what I do. Wild Side. I mixed it with that and I think it blended so nicely. So I'll get that queued up whilst you hear the song that he did for Shiny. What? Who is doing that now? And the thing is, it sounds so full of healing, and something that I'll critique with the new groups. As much as I'm a fifth gen stan, no one knows how to convey those feelings in a song anymore. They're singing this as if they mean it, and they probably can do that because Jonghyun wrote it, and he probably has the influence of great singers who it can come across authentically. Whereas the people who are doing it now haven't got those references in the same way, so it doesn't land the same. But you listen to that and it feels so edgy, and it's funny, that still sounds so fresh now. This is 10 years later, that song still works now. It's called Odd Eye. Now, the song that he did on his solo stuff, which I adored, is called Moon. Oh my god. Do you get it? Anyway, he ate that. Moon is just, mwah, but obviously I couldn't blend it in perfectly, but I did it perfectly on a DJ set and it sounded amazing. So he was way ahead of his time, like to have that sort of R&B in that way, gorgeous song. And he was such an asset as well to have that artist, a true artist. And that was his one of the name of his album is called Poet Artist, which is a song that Shiny released this year or last year as a tribute to him. I think it was this year actually. So anyway, I'll play that for you lot later. So then at this point after that, within they released a Japanese album, and then after that they released One of One, which was a bit more retro. And at this time, it was actually refreshing when groups did retro songs. I'm not going to play the title track, but I will play one of the B-sides that I love. Because, yeah, after this, I mean, I think past around 2018, 2019, everyone was caught onto their retro. And retro was just retro, retro, retro everywhere. Shiny definitely did a lot of things. It felt like they did it first. And if they didn't do it first, they popularized it. So it felt like they did it first. So this is one of my favorite songs on there. Just delicious, delicious, delicious. And that was, yes, that was 2016. And did I have any other songs I liked from that era? I think that's probably the standout one. So at this point, imagine they're 8 years in. And then 2017, they didn't release any music. And that's unfortunately the year that Jonghyun passed in December. Let me just double check if maybe we had something throughout the year. Because I'm pretty sure they didn't. I know they were on tour. And I always wanted to react to that tour, actually, but I didn't. Oh, no, they released a Japanese album in 20. These albums were coming one after another. My God. And I don't know. I actually don't know a lot of songs on there. I do know one. Oh, I do like Melody. Sorry. But no, I'm trying not to. Okay, let me show you one of them. Because that album definitely has, from what I'm seeing now, I do like that song. I really like this song, actually. And once again, it seems like it really links beautifully to the entire discography. Because at this point, 8 years in, you can hear a song and just go, oh yeah, that's a Shiny song. Through the kind of ad-libs they do, the harmonies that they do, but also that specific genre, they have that a little bit of a live, almost like a jazzy, bluesy influence in the instrumentation. But also with that funk kind of R&B groove and bass line and rhythm. So they've definitely maintained that. And everyone, of course, the loss of Jonghyun was like, okay, you've lost an amazing main vocalist. However, everyone else is still competent. But you'd be still curious to see how do we then continue as four to make that sound, to compensate for what's no longer there. And I think they did an amazing job with it. And I think Story of Light is their second best album, actually. And it was, for me, for a long time, the best album from any boy group since 2018. Then maybe Obsession came along. But even now, even still, I think at times it felt stronger than Obsession because it had such a passion and so much emotion to it because they did such a beautiful tribute to him. But also, it wasn't just, let's be sad and gloomy. No, there was a lot of hope. There's a lot of celebration and a lot of lyrically complex music. So the main title track, which sampled 112 Cupid in a very intelligent way, but then again, this is SM. They know where to, their A&R know where to dig for a reference. And I'll play that for you now. Yeah. I mean, come on, the production, and it's probably still one of the best title tracks, even choreo wise as well. It gives me shivers still. It's just such a powerful song, and the use of going back to the kind of house vibe which we had in View. So they dug back into what was their best album and referencing that in an amazing way, but refreshing it with the sample. Let me play the sample for you lot. So if anyone who doesn't know, if you're not educated, I'm joking. Like, what a smart sample. Like, what, how? And there's a lot of B-sides I love from this album. I really enjoy it. It's called Story of Light. Came out 2018. Oh, just a great album. But one that I must play is Chemistry. And because of the production style, it's very different. It's fresh. It's almost like a reggae groove. No. Anyway, let's listen to it and we can speculate together, darling. Like, I don't know what genre I could say that is, but the rhythm, I don't know, it reminds me of a salsa or something. I don't know where I'm in, but I feel like I'm in the ballpark. So that was gorgeous and an amazing album and an amazing tribute. And there was something that they did so beautifully and they've done continuously since 2017 is they acknowledged him on this album by releasing a song with him in it. So I would speculate that this song would have been the starting sessions of the Story of Light album, but I guess obviously they included it on this one so we could hear what the era might have sounded like if Jonghyun was in it, and it's kind of one of the best songs on the album. That's his voice. Like, it's such a coasting kind of song. It doesn't feel like it's got your typical first chorus structure. It doesn't feel overly produced. It just rides and you're in this wave. And that's definitely Jonghyun's influence. I don't know. I think he might have also written and produced some of this, but I'm not 100% sure. But that is just so futuristic as well. It still sounds so good. So I love that they included that. Now, from this point now, after Story of Light, now people are now going to the army. I think Onyu had already gone, maybe, and then Minho, and then like everyone's going. Then when they came back, only Taemin was left to go to the military. And they came, at least I think that feels right to me. I might be blagging there, but there's too much to check, man. I'm focusing on the music, okay? So they came back with Don't Call Me, which was a very unconventional. Now, this is like in lockdown. This is in 2021. This came out. And kind of when I'm now into K-pop and I'm very much in love with SHINee, because SHINee to me was just great music, great vocals. But obviously, because they debuted so long ago, it doesn't feel the same getting on the train that's been traveling for a long time already. But I still loved and was into their music and was very excited. And more so, I was in love and obsessed with Taemin. Of course, I still love and respect him now, but it's just not the same because musically, once he left SM, although he's still in SHINee, the music is just not what it was. I'm not loving it as much. But at the time, also your journey changes. You're allowed to develop and change your taste to develop and grow as you grow. And also there's so much to discover in K-pop where you might start enjoying. In a couple of years' time, you might discover something new. You're like, I'm obsessed with this. And that's very much how I move. I go with what I enjoy. So they came back with Don't Call Me, which is a lot more edgier and a lot different. But once again, we are now in 2021, we are now 13 years into your career. And a lot of groups by 13 years in are not as relevant. And people are kind of calling them hags, Super Junior. People are calling them hags and don't really want them to release anything else. And they don't have the cultural relevancy and the currency and they're not trendy. But SHINee is not that. And that's why I wanted to make this podcast, because they did something that just feels a lot rarer to see. But also, we're in a new era where groups are coming back now, because obviously K-pop is so big now. Everyone wants to stay active longer and continue their legacy. So I guess we could see more of this. But I love that sonically, they managed to very much keep things consistent. So this is Don't Call Me. So very trendy, very current, a lot of very rap focused. But as you can hear in that chorus, the vocals are still there. They're still showing you, no, don't worry, we can still sing. Listen to the, we can still sing. And that was, I think they got like 4 wins, music show wins. And they did very well. It did really, really well. And I think people were just happy to have them back. And the fact that they did it so well, the choreo was fantastic as well. One of their hardest that they've done. And the video was really good. And the song is obviously very unconventional. Those weird chord progressions, very minor, very kind of creepy. Yeah. But then in the B-side, they still had a song which is still very SHINee and a few songs like that. And they also performed this. It's called Marry You. I can hear Jonghyun on that song. It sounds like his vibe, which means I could hear that song on Odd, I could hear it on Story of Light, I could hear it on maybe even Misconceptions, which is the one with Excuse Me Miss, like maybe. But once again, you're hearing the maturity, even the lyrical content to talk about marrying a woman. Whoa, like relax. But it shows that now we're 13 years in, we're in our 30s or entering our 30s, we are grown. And it comes across so authentic. And yes, Don't Call Me could seem like, when you watch the video, it might seem like they're dressed like trying to look hip, but it doesn't. Looking back now, I'm like, no, this works because they are still young people. But this is the issue. When you've seen people grow up from such a young age, when they are in the 30s, they can feel like they're in the 40s, but they're not. They've just matured right in front of your eyes. So that was a Don't Call Me album. Then a couple years later came the Hard album, which is 2023. Another also very successful song. Mind you, we're now 15 year anniversary. They're still going strong and still sonically consistent. Although I would say I did not like Hard because it just felt like there was too much of the rap without much vocal. And people are like, SHINee, you've always done rap. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, because I know the discography as well. Yes, they've used rap moments, but the vocals never took a backseat. You always had strong vocal melodies and a strong vocal presence, and this was a very experimental song, very hip-hop and very bare, but it worked. It was fresh and it got them a lot of music show wins once again. This is Heart. So yeah, very rap focused. Of course, I saw the beautiful vocal moments in the pre-chorus and some of the backing vocals. But for the most part, it felt like a very different Shiny. But at this point, it is 15 years in. It's like, do you know what? Fine, do it. Because you've already established your sound amazingly and you've been very consistent throughout the years. And imagine what I'm showing you lot is just a scratch off the surface. There's so much more music there. And they did it so well. And then even one of the B-sides, which I hated at first listen, I did not like it. But actually, once I saw the performance video, I was like, oh, I'm obsessed. I think you like me. I think you like me. I think you like me. You got the juice, man. I think you like me. I think you like me. I think you like me. I was getting lost in the sauce. Now that beat goes off, because obviously initially I just found it a bit too janky and all over the place, and I just thought like, it's too much. But it grew on me, and you have to commend them, because even the choreo for that video and the performance video is one of their best. And this is 15 years in and still so relevant, and still they're definitely a unique act in that way. They've managed to retain this youth and coolness that a lot of groups after 10 years would lose. So that's just impressive. And I love another song I do love on this album as well, it's called Satellite. Now, fun fact for people who may not know, that song, you can't appreciate it fully because of the producers and the engineers, because this is what the backing vocals sound like. And when I heard this, once I heard this, this made me fall in love with the song even more. That harmony, that's basically someone who's compiled them recording in the studio and just matched it to the song, so you can appreciate their singing as it is without the music, and it's so gorgeous. And that was pretty much their kind of full album trajectory for Korean albums so far. And of course, this year they came back with Poet Artist, which was a tribute for Jonghyun and also a way to acknowledge him. And it's a song that he wrote, and I'll play that for you lot, and I'll end the podcast with that, but I'll play it out so you lot can experience it. But yeah, that's just how you do a career as a musician, because in the midst of all this, you've also had Taemin, Ki, Minho, obviously Jonghyun. They've all had solo careers, actually, but Taemin, the biggest of the five and definitely the most impactful, because his solo career was insane from a dance perspective, from the gender expression perspective, and all these things. He kind of just set a whole lane for himself. So in the midst of all this, they still always came back to SHINee and still carried on this beautiful journey. And yeah, you have to commend it. It's such an impressive discography, and I hope you lot probably discovered a new song. There's another song, oh my god, there's another song I must play before I end this that I definitely wanted you lot to hear, which I loved from the album One of One. There's just too many songs. Like, this is nearly a 20-year career. Oh my god, the 20th anniversary is in a couple of years. Like, there's just too much. I'm gonna miss some things. When I discovered that song, it's on the One in One album. It's called Rescue. Oh my god, I was gagged. Anyway, we're done for today now. But yeah, this is Poet Artist, beautiful song. And to Jonghyun, Onyu, Taemin, Minho, and Ki, you did well. You've done amazingly well. And thank you for blessing us with your music and your talent all these years, and to many more. Let's play this out. And thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you lot next week. I don't know where to love my father do. Don't get no more, can you come and help out? You're handling no more.